So why do they call it a podcast? It's not a pod, and you don't cast it. This may not be the right episode for this, but I'm going to give you the secret to a money machine.
Oh, no.
All you have to do if you want infinite money for the rest of your life, you need to write a sequel to The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings. It's going to be about Bilbo now that he's like ancient. He's like 200 years old, but like he's meaner than ever and he doesn't take anything from nobody. And this book is going to be called Old Hobbits Die Hard. It's gonna be about Bilbo going to like attend his ex-wife's second breakfast feast for work, but then the hobbit hole gets taken over by like Gollum, and he's like leading a group of rogue hobbits and they're gonna steal the One Ring. and then Bilbo's like, come to the Shire, we'll get together, have some llamas bread. And then at one point, because you know Frodo works for Gollum now, they send Frodo down and he's gonna get Bilbo, but Bilbo kills him. He just like kills him, and then he sends Frodo's body back up and he's got a sign that says like, now I have some mithril, Frodo. Tom Bombadil shows up outside and he's just like sitting around outside being like fat.
He's like, I shot a little elf child.
Yeah,
he's like a toy bow and arrow.
Exactly.
It looks real to me.
Yeah, it looks real to me. Stupid Tom Bombadil. Freaking hate that Tom dumb Bombadil. Fat loser eating donuts and just like not caring about the One Ring. That's how you're going to make infinite money for the rest of your lives. The Hobbit will be in public domain as of like 2032. Lord of the Rings is going to be like till 2050, I think, so you're gonna have to sit on that one for a while. But Old Hobbits Die Hard, trust me, it's gonna be big. That has very little to do with the episode we're gonna record, so I've got a better one. Who would win in a fight, the cast of Friends or the cast of Seinfeld, the two biggest sitcoms ever? Who's gonna win? Joey or Kramer? Chandler or Jerry, I mean, George or Phoebe, like, Rachel or Elaine.
Like either of these shows.
Monica or nobody.
I'm just not into sitcoms that much, unless they're Will and Grace.
I love sitcoms, especially Will and Grace.
Well, yeah.
I think sitcoms are hot.
But I think Seinfeld would win, and I think if I were to say which one I liked better, I probably like Friends a little better, but I don't like either of them that much. But the Seinfeld characters are just scrappier.
Yeah, they're a little. They'd fight dirty, I think. Here's my rebuttal. Why does Ross, the largest friend, not simply eat all of the Seinfeld characters?
I mean, he is the largest, but you know when he says, "Hey, Tribbiani, give me that bagel," Joey just without a second thought,
absolutely body him.
Without even like wondering why is Ross acting out of character,
casually, just him. Casually just flings Ross across the room. Now I will also say that the biggest advantage that the Friends have is Monica, because she's freakishly strong, apparently. But
she's
again,
not,
she's not. I mean, Ross out-wrestled her. The actual advantage that they have is Phoebe, because Phoebe's like legitimately insane. She grew up on the streets and she would like knife people to death.
So she says. But well, you have to remember that Phoebe was like Phoebe was like horrified when her boyfriend just took his gun out and shot that bird that was tweeting outside their window. Just terrible cop boyfriend.
That was the greatest way they ever got rid of a side character. Oh, I guess everything's done. She ended up with him. Oh, wait, a bird tweeting. Just shoots it right out his window. Oh man,
that guy was pretty cool.
Yeah,
or the other guy she dated was like, I write erotic novels
for children.
They're wildly unpopular.
Also, I think you should know I have a PhD, a pretty huge dick. What a great guy. That guy was just... As far as the Seinfeld gang, the biggest negative, because I agree with you, I think they're scrappier and more underhanded, but the Seinfeld gang has never fought anyone, really.
No.
Like, Jerry fought an old lady for a marble rye, and I think that's it.
But Seinfeld was done earlier, before New York was being, like, really gentrified. So they're in a much dirtier, more dangerous New York than the Friends
were. That's true. I always liked that Kramer's first thought when they see a tour bus driving by, he's like, hey, George, let me mug you. These guys need to see a real mugging. That's what you see when you're in New York. The cast of Friends seems like more well-fed and healthy.
Yeah, no,
I don't know.
They seem like they were, I don't know, people from L.A.
Yeah. We can give it to the Seinfeld gang just because they are, like you said, the original sitcom of the modern age. In fact, you might say that they ruined the sitcom genre by making it about nothing instead of about an actual situation.
It's no longer a situational comedy. It's just a comedy.
Well, you had a theory about that. Do you want to walk me through it? It's a good theory. I agree with it.
Yeah.
What is a sitcom? I don't even know that term. What's a sitcom?
Well, you don't?
Yeah, I've never heard of it. Tell me. Explain it.
Sitcom?
So a sitcom is like a situational comedy. You sit down and you watch a comedy? You sit comedy?
No, it's a situational comedy. Situational. It's a show that has some kind of situation.
Four friends living together? Five friends living near each other? Those aren't situations. Yeah, well, 2.5 men living together? How I Met Your Mother living together?
Well, nowadays, the situation is usually just group of friends live together. One of them might be a comedian, but not always.
Yeah.
Not necessarily even live together, but live near each other, interact. And I'm not going to try to speak to, like, how sitcoms got started. Most people would point to I Love Lucy as, like, the, you know, one of the early ones that really codified the genre.
Did you know he never says, Lucy, you got some splaining to do. That never happens. He never says it. It's like the most referenced line in the show. It's never spoken on the show. It's like a Luke, I am your father situation, right? Yeah. Where everyone remembers it, but that's not the actual line.
He's a cool guy, by the way. He's kind of an interesting fella. Both of them you were, mean actually.
The actor or?
The actors, yeah.
She also thought that she was receiving CIA transmissions through her teeth.
She may have been schizophrenic.
She thought she was hearing radio signals, which even if you could hear them, you wouldn't hear them as words. You'd hear them as... Like, if you somehow heard that frequency, it would be a frequency. It wouldn't be words. Radio signals aren't transmitted as words. They're transmitted as modulations.
Yeah, that could have been possibly why Desi left her, because she was schizophrenic. Who knows?
Did they ever make like a situation comedy about like large fat man beats his wife when he's mad at her? And was one of these days, bang, zoom, straight to the moon.
I'm assuming you're referencing Simpsons.
Simpsons and Futurama, yes. One of these days, Martha, bang, zoom, straight to the moon. That's how the astronauts got the idea. That wasn't about space travel. That was a metaphor for beating your wife. Oh, man, Futurama is amazing. Now, that is a sitcom. A true sitcom. Man gets teleported to the year 3000. There you go. Yes. Real sitcom.
Yeah, originally, like in the Lucy era, it was like, your spouse is slightly weird. And that was the situation. But then in the 60s, they got a lot of
your
real
spouse
situations.
Is a genie.
Like, your spouse is a genie. Your spouse is a witch.
Can fly. Why would you make a comedy? Why would you make a show about a nun? Why can she fly?
Or even like Get Smart, like, hey, you're a secret agent making fun of secret agent.
No, those are good sitcoms.
The Flintstones and the Jetsons, you're the modern Stone Age family, or
the modern future family.
So yeah, it used to take a situation and find the comedy in that situation. Again, yeah, like Futurama is a good example. Seinfeld makes fun of this a lot in their show, like when they're trying to come up with sitcom ideas and they're like, he gets sentenced to be his butler. Like, that's a classic sitcom setup. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Seinfeld changed the entire sitcom landscape to just be friends.
Well, and this is why I actually sort of disagree with your theory, because I feel like, although you're right, it was responsible for it, I feel like Seinfeld wasn't this. Like, Seinfeld didn't necessarily fall into the trap of just becoming a boring show about friends, because it was like purposefully parodying the genre of sitcoms, right? Like, it was being subversive on purpose. It wasn't,
but
just
it became so
becoming
subversive
a cookie cutter,
that it became the norm.
Right. And I feel like Friends is really the one that took it and ran it into the ground with, like, yay, cookie cutter sitcom, here we go. But anyway.
Now, a show that I appreciate from the 90s,
Will and Grace,
is The Nanny. I was going to say The Nanny, because it is it's a pure situational comedy. Like, it even has the animated opening.
Yeah.
like the old Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie type shows. You know, a nanny, but she's not a nanny. She just happens to be there, but now she's sentenced to be his butler, essentially.
Well, I agree, but like, how often on that show is she actually being a nanny?
No, I mean,
she's not ever.
Well, that's kind of what Seinfeld ended up doing, was just throwing out the situational part, because how often did that really figure into it anyway? You know, like, usually it's still just a comedy about these quirky characters being quirky together.
Yeah.
In cases like I Dream of Jeannie, you can often use like the situation part.
Man, I love that show.
It's such a good show. you use the magic part to create the problems.
Yeah, that's all. That's all it ever does.
Never to solve the problems.
No. Oh, man. Captain Nelson is completely, utterly unable to even conceptualize that magic could possibly make his life better.
No.
To him, magic is horrible and will only ever
magic
ruin
is
everything.
An annoyance, as is Genie.
Yes.
They only exist to make his life worse.
He just wants them to stop. He's like, if you use magic, just stop using magic. I'll fix it from here. Don't use more magic to fix it. And the worst part is, he's right. It's always bad to use more magic.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh. What a show. That's a good show.
And he hates Jeannie.
He sure does. And she loves him. She's so into him. For a self-proclaimed not really liker of sitcoms, you sure seem to know a lot about sitcoms. You sure seem to like them a lot for someone who doesn't like sitcoms.
So, yeah, when we would go to our uncle's house in like a farm in the middle of Nebraska,
wow.
It was like we were transported to another time, because I'm pretty sure his TVs only got old channel. Like,
well,
they would only show old things.
That's true. You're right. Oddly enough, that is
crazy.
The case.
And that's where we watched Get Smart and I Dream of Jeannie.
But also, we didn't have TV, so it was also like we
That's
were going
true.
Into the future,
we didn't
though,
have TV.
Because we had no TV. We were going from a situational comedy of our own with no TV, which was like in the 1800s, forward to like the 60s or the 50s, where we could actually watch TV. We were like, whoa, this is the future. But yeah, everything was all old. Even like when an anime would come on, it was like really old animes, like that Android anime. Was it Ichiro? I think we saw Yu Yu Hakusho there. That was like the first time we saw that.
Yeah, anyway, that's a good one.
That's a great anime. Dude, I got some theories about that one.
I know you do.
But no, so your theory about Seinfeld being the downfall of the classic sitcom and the rise of the modern sitcom.
I say I don't like sitcoms, but I actually do like them when they have like a high concept hook. When it's like, hey, I'm like, dating a genie. Hey, that's interesting. You know,
what if,
whereas if it's just like, hey,
like six
these
sons
two people
married a woman
live together.
With like six daughters. Sitcom.
Whoa,
wait, that's like not a great idea.
No,
I don't know. Do you like the Brady Bunch? Is it good? I like the Brady Bunch movies.
Right. I have only watched the actual Brady Bunch like maybe once, and I was surprised that no one had afros and they all seemed totally normal.
Yeah, I think it's not as silly as the movies were, but the movies were fun.
Well, now that we spent 30 minutes on that.
Yes. Today we... Oh, geez, that's a long time. To be fair, I did have to talk about Old Hobbits Die Hard. So yeah. That's such a good title, dude. Have you ever heard a title that good? My gosh, that book would sell out. I guarantee it.
That's a situation, at least. I don't know about... I guess it's a comedy.
Hey, it is what you make it. You got to write it. Today we're going to talk about Seinfeld. There is one great mystery in Seinfeld. Like you said, it's a classic. It's the father of modern sitcoms. But there's one question that has never been answered that we are finally going to answer today. The biggest unsolved question, which almost drove Jerry Seinfeld himself to madness in season 5, episode 15, The Pie.
Yeah. I haven't actually even seen that many episodes of Seinfeld, and I remember even less of them.
I've seen them all, multiple times.
But I remember this one.
Yeah,
it's a great episode. A mystery, and it's never answered.
Ooh. No. So we're dropped straight into a scene in this episode.
Oh, why are we talking about like the pie episode, though, on this day of all days?
Happy Pie Day! 3.14! It's Pie Day! Yeah. Yay.
Last year we
release episodes for Pie Day. Whoa, it's a holiday.
By the way, check out our episode from last year. It was really good. And
yes, The Life of Pie.
Probably much better than this one will turn out.
No, this is going to be great. But The Life of Pie is like, that's like our magnum opus. That's like the greatest episode we've ever made. It's so good. For The Pie, we're dropped straight into a scene. Seinfeld is eating dinner at Monk's Cafe with his girlfriend, Audrey. She's brand new. We've never seen her before, or have we?
Oh.
So they're talking about how great dinner was, and she specifically says, I'm not full. I've had just enough. Like, she could totally eat more, but she's perfectly content. Then Jerry grabs a pie, and he's like, the apple pie here is amazing. And he takes a bite, and he's like, you got to taste this pie. You have to taste it. And he offers it to her, and she just starts shaking her head, really weirdly, like vibrating her head back and forth.
She's really nervous.
She's
like
terrified.
Like he's abusing her.
It's so weird. And I can see why he is like taking offense to her response, because she's being weird. Like he's like, did I do something? No, she offers no reason for her refusal. He's like, you don't like apple pie? And she's like, no, I love it. No, it's not that. And he's like, well, just taste it. And she's like, no. And then she just keeps shaking her head just without saying anything. So the question for this episode is, why did Audrey not eat the pie? Because we never find out the rest of the episode. It is. Kramer says he saw her a day later at the cafe eating a piece of apple pie. She goes back to buy
pie. She says she likes apple pie, and she wasn't lying, and she wanted to try Jerry's pie that he was trying to offer her, and she goes back alone to try that pie on her own.
Yeah, so she clearly wanted pie, but she wouldn't eat his. And it's never answered. We don't know why until today. I know why she didn't eat that pie.
This is huge.
Audrey had a plan. Audrey had a mission. Audrey wanted to murder Jerry Seinfeld, she herself had poisoned that pie, so she could not eat that pie.
she didn't do a very good job of it.
She didn't do a good job. How do I know that Audrey was trying to poison Jerry and that's why she wouldn't eat the pie? Well, let's take a trip a couple of seasons back, all the way back to season 3.
Okay.
There's a certain episode called The Limo, where we are first introduced to Audrey. Is her name Ava?
Ava Braun.
You may have just hit upon a very important aspect of this theory. So in this episode, the actor who plays Audrey plays a Nazi named Ava. And Ava is trying to meet up with a man named O'Brien, who is the Nazi head of the Aryan Union. He is a massive, hateful white supremacist who is coming to New York to give a just disgusting anti-Semitic, anti-everything talk. They read some excerpts of it. He's pretty much dunking on everyone.
Oh, excerpts.
I know, you love when I say that. That's how it's spelled, dude. How am I supposed to pronounce it?
No, it's not. It's not spelled excerpts. It's spelled excerpts.
Excerpts. Yeah, excerpts.
No, it's excerpts.
I'll excerpt you. Audrey, or Ava, as she introduces herself in this episode, she is trying to endear herself to O'Brien. She is his biggest fan. She's read his books. She's memorized his book. And I believe that she introduces herself to him with a pseudonym that she has personally selected to impress him. I think she took the name Ava, as in Eva Braun, as in Hitler's wife, as in the most famous woman Nazi who ever lived. As soon as Ava enters the limo, George, who is pretending to be O'Brien, basically they're pretending to be Nazis so that they can ride in a limo, and they didn't realize they were pretending to be Nazis. They thought they were just pretending to be some random guy, but then that guy's friends get in and they're like, are you ready for your speech? And they're like, speech? What are you talking about? They're like, we've memorized your book. Your ideas are so groundbreaking. And they're like, oh yeah, my ideas. And he's like, can I read that speech? And he starts reading it, and it's just about the horrible Semitic race and the blacks and all this stuff. It's really good. I mean, it's not good. It's hilarious how awful it is. George, he comments to Jerry, he's talking to him, he's like, whoa, she's hot. He's talking about how attractive Ava is, as Jerry kind of angrily and annoyingly like scolds him and tells him to cut it out. This is because Jerry wants her all for himself. Jerry likes
he's it. Like a, what is he, like a masochist? He likes to be hated by the person he's dating. I guess
no,
that
he just
tracks.
He just thinks she's cute. I mean, Jerry, he's a bit of a psycho himself, so he doesn't really care. He just thinks she's cute. Later on in the episode, when Ava, or Audrey, finds out that George is not actually O'Brien, the head of the Aryan Union, that he's actually just George. He even introduces himself. He says, I'm not O'Brien, I'm George, and this isn't Dylan Murphy, it's Jerry Seinfeld. They admit everything. They tell her who they are. They babble incoherently for a while. She holds them at gunpoint, and then she forces them to leave the limo. That's the last we see of her until season 5, The Pie, where she comes back as Audrey.
One of my favorite jokes that I remember from Seinfeld is the one where Seinfeld hates dentists, and
wow, he's an anti-dentite.
Mad at him for being an anti-dentite, and he doesn't get that everyone around him just loves dentists. He seems to be the one who hates them, and then he's so happy when he's dating Grace, yep. Deborah Messing, and he makes a joke about dentists, and yep. She laughs, and she makes another joke about dentists, and he's like, oh, yep. Oh yeah, it's finally a fellow soul who hates dentists, and she's like, yeah, who yep. needs them? And the blacks and Jews.
Yep. As if the only kind of person who would hate dentists is also just completely off-the-end racist towards
everyone. I love
everyone.
That joke. Especially because so apparently she doesn't know that she's talking to a Jewish person.
Oh, yeah.
And also, she plays one in Will and Grace.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought it was weird that Jerry was the Jewish one and George and Elaine aren't.
Yeah. George seems like... Well
is
it he written by a Jewish guy? The Curb Your Enthusiasm guy?
He's Larry David. Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David wanted to make a show about themselves, and Seinfeld ended up, you know, casting himself to play himself because he's like, I'm a comedian, right. I can do this. And Larry David ended up, you know, getting cast as a different actor.
George.
He got cast as Jason Alexander, which is really confusing because Britney Spears married Jason Alexander in like 2004.
Oh. Britney was only like 20.
Yeah, she would have been like 20, and he would have been like, I don't know, not. But no, I looked it up, and it was not that Jason Alexander. It was a different Jason Alexander. It was just some random dude named Jason Alexander.
Why
like not even anybody.
Some fat bald guy.
I know. I was like, why would she marry him? Why would he have married her?
She was so tired of dating hot guys like Justin Timberlake. She was like,
I gotta marry Jason Alexander.
Like she watched
short,
Seinfeld. She was like,
short,
that's
squat,
the
bald
guy.
Guy from a sitcom. He's my type. Jason Alexander, I think he's a terrific actor. He's fantastic. He's like a classically trained Broadway actor, so which you can see if you look up some of the commercials he did. He did a great singing commercial for McDonald's.
That's his ringtone.
It is his ringtone. You can find that on YouTube, too. He's the perfect person to play George. I think he brings this character, who is an incomprehensible character, to life in a way that makes him endearing and fun. In a way that I think that Larry David can't, because I've tried watching Curb and I don't enjoy watching Larry David. But I think if I watched more of it, I probably could like it, because I hated Seinfeld when I first started watching it. I had to like force myself to watch it. And the reason I hated it was because I hated all the characters. I was like, I don't any of these guys.
I kind of like Elaine. Well, she's pretty bad too, but like, I like her better than all the male characters. I agree with Jerry when he says that, like, I don't like men. They're repugnant. And I'm like, yes, all the men in your show are repugnant. There are good looking men, but they're not apparently in your sphere.
Well, but it's not just how they look. They're repugnant inside and out, like all of them, on purpose. And I've come to terms with that, and that's, I've started to love it. Like, when I first started the show, I was under the impression that you can only enjoy watching something that you like. But I now realize you can enjoy watching things that you don't like.
Specifically, you can very much enjoy watching things that you don't like. I don't know about
everyone
other people.
Can. Everyone can. It's fun. So yeah, you can enjoy watching these horrible, horrible people go about their
ways. Sometimes you just randomly message me and you're like, dude, you got to talk me out of watching all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies again.
Oh, man.
I'm like, why do I have to talk you out of that? Just don't do it. They're bad.
No, I had to do it. It was important.
Why?
It was fun. I liked it, kind of. I don't know. The first one's great. It's like amazing. It's a modern masterpiece.
Every line is quotable, apparently.
Gosh. Dude.
Oh, I was just shaking my civic booty.
Oh, man. I love that guy. He just sure knows how to shake his civic booty.
The most recognizable line from that movie, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Said like, by a random extra.
What other lines are there? Dude, that's not good enough. You have to come up with a better line. Oh, man. Dude, my tang is nearly the full width of my blade right now.
Oh, jeez. Not sure what that means, but...
Yeah, you don't want to find out. You know the first thing I'm going to do when I get done recording?
Oh,
eat a whole bushel of apples.
Oh, now that actually was a good line.
Dude, every line was good. What are you talking about?
I just meant that shaking my civic booty is not actually
That's not a
line
real for... line. That's just what we say. It's so good, though. I was just shaking my civic booty.
Just like this gross drunk man who can barely speak wants to brag about how he can dance.
Yeah, he shakes his civic booty. Not only dance, but he's like patriotic. He's like shaking his civic booty. Wait, but we're not talking about Seinfeld.
No, sorry.
We're not talking about Pirates. That's the problem. We're not talking about Seinfeld. We need to be. Why are we even talking about this? This has nothing to do with the theory.
You like watching things that are bad. That was your point. Because you don't like Seinfeld, but you can enjoy
it. Yeah, but that also has nothing to do with the theory. Why am I talking about that? I'm trying to get... Can we follow the line of the conversation back to where we were?
We're talking about the Nazi episode.
No, yeah, I finished that whole thing. So yeah, she forced them out of the limo and we didn't see her again until season 5, The Pie. I think that Jerry, you know, in between these episodes, he got back in contact with her and he's like, hey, we started a little rocky, but let's go on a date, see how things work. And she, being a despicable Nazi woman, hates Jerry. She can't stand him. The sight of him makes her want to vomit. So she decided, hey, I'm going to carry out my Nazi duty and murder this man. So she decided to string Jerry along until she could get him into a situation where he's eating something
into a public restaurant where they had already finished their meal.
And she's going to poison him. And then
she didn't even have the forethought to think of like a good excuse for why she won't eat it. Well, all she can do is shake her head wordlessly.
She's pretty weird. No, but then why does she do this? Because she's a psycho. She's an absolute psycho. And we know this because later on in this episode, Jerry's asking around and he sees these two old ladies eating and one of them doesn't eat the pie. So he goes up to these ladies. He's like, see, why, when she offered you pie, why didn't you take it? And she's like, because I was full. And he's like, and did you tell her that you were full? Or you didn't just shake your head like this? And then the best line in the show is when the old lady says, no, I'm not a psycho. And Jerry's like, yes, yes, you're not a psycho. Thank you. And it's true. Right. Ava slash Audrey is a psycho. She's crazy. She's completely nuts.
I forgot
nuts.
That line. When I was researching this theory, many people had asked this question on Reddit for why doesn't she eat the pie? And the top comment on all of those threads was, she's a psycho.
She's a psycho. She is.
And it gets upvoted.
No, I'm not a psycho. Such a great line for this old lady to just drop. She has no idea what Jerry's talking about, but she does know that sitting there just shaking your head is a psychotic reaction to that question.
Well, then Jerry's a psycho, too.
Yes, because later on, Audrey brings Jerry to her dad Poppy's restaurant.
Poppy's name is Poppy.
Uh-huh. His name
is
Poppy.
But he is also her dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
everyone calls him
German?
Poppy. No, he is Italian.
Oh, wait, no, but she's not German. She just changed her name to Ava Braun.
She is Italian. Exactly. So her dad's Italian and she's Italian. And I'm about to reveal that her dad, Poppy,
but they were probably
is just
Mussolini
as big of a
supporters.
Nazi as she is. Yes. So, no, they absolutely 100% were, and there's really good evidence of this that doesn't make sense otherwise. She brings Jerry to her dad Poppy's restaurant because she thinks, you know, it didn't work last time I tried to kill this guy. I have more control here. I can have my dad poison his pizza. And the whole time she's talking up this pizza and how great it's going to be. And then they get there and Poppy's talking up the pizza. He's talking about how great it's going to be. Jerry, unfortunately, or fortunately for him, accidentally thwarts their efforts because he happens to spy Poppy going to the toilet and not
Poppy
washing his
their
hands.
Efforts.
Well, yeah.
So why Poppy, does he not wash
I don't know,
his hands
he goes,
in front of...
He's
talking to
a
Jerry.
Jump and he's talking to Jerry and he comes out of the stall and he's like, I'm going to make your pizza personally. And then runs his dirty hands
yeah,
through his
he
hair
just, like,
and walks
fixes
out.
His hair. Yep.
And then Jerry's just sitting, standing there and like... surprise and disgust that this man would do this right in front of him, announcing that he's gonna make pizza with his stinky bathroom hands. So when they serve the pizza, instead of like, you know, telling Audrey what happened, she's like, Jerry, taste the pizza, my dad made it just for you. And he just sits there without saying a word, shaking his head in
he
horror.
Does the same thing.
He does the same thing she did. And,
and from,
you know,
her perspective, she thinks he's like
she thinks
very
he's
vindictive
making her pay. Yes.
Yeah. This is what you get
that.
For not
in
trying
the next
pie.
Scene, he says she thought I was just trying to get back at her. But I think she's angry for other reasons. I think she's mad because this was the poison pizza. He was supposed to eat it and he didn't. And she doesn't know why. He wouldn't explain it.
I see the reason why their poisons don't work very well. They don't have access to poison, and they're just trying to poison with, like, fecal coliform.
With, like, E. coli, yeah. Yeah. It's possible. But we need to know more about Poppy to conclusively prove that Audrey is actually a Italian fascist Nazi. If only we could prove that they were part of the fascist party, you know, back in World War II, that they were like working for Mussolini or something. Oh, wait, Poppy appears in a few other episodes and he might provide us some insight into his past.
Uh-oh.
Fast forward to season 6. The episode is called The Couch. In this episode, Elaine and Seinfeld go to eat at Poppy's again. He's
Why
going to feed
they?
Them. Yeah, because he's a great... apparently, he's a great cook. He's a very successful chef.
Seems like Jerry would never want to eat there again.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't, but... He's going to feed them succulent duck, which is even more succulent than even he had hoped, apparently. I don't know what makes duck particularly succulent, but apparently he has a way to gauge succulentness, and this duck's succulent measures are off the chart. It's so succulent. I actually really like that. It's a running theme. Whenever Poppy is making food, they really talk up how great that food actually is going to be. Like, it's even better than you'd imagine. And then they never eat it. It's really good. I think that this is Poppy's way of trying to get this disgusting member of a race that he doesn't like to eat the poison food. He's like, it's so succulent. It's so good. You have to taste it, you know, but Jerry's too smart for him.
Their assassination attempts are few and far between.
Well, you know, they can't. They've got day jobs.
Yeah, that's true.
They've got other stuff to do. As they are in the restaurant, they're just chit-chatting with him, and Elaine mentions his mother. She says, oh, your mother must be so proud. And then he stops short and he says, tells them the story of how his mother in Italy was taken from my house by the communists in the middle of the night. He says this happened when he was 10 years old and that she was sent to a slave labor camp where she labored for 12 years. Finally, they released her and she was sent on a boat to America to reunite with them, but she was served some bad fish and she died on the high seas.
Probably from someone who didn't wash their hands.
Yeah, probably. That story makes zero sense. The communists never kidnapped people in Italy. The Communist Party in Italy has never even had that much power. The Fascist Party did back when they were Nazis. The only way that this story could make sense is back when Poppy was a kid, and the actor is actually the right age for that. He's like 50 or 60 years old, and it's the 80s, so he's supposed to be an older guy, and he's got like a Seinfeld-aged daughter. So it makes sense if he was, you know, around 10 when World War II was ending. So if he was a kid back then when the fascists and the Nazis were in power, they strongly opposed the communists.
Right. Russia was against them.
Well, yeah, but also the communists within Italy. The only party that ever got sabotaged or terrorized by the Communist Party in Italy was the fascists. The Communist Party were the most active party leading the resistance against the Nazis in Italy. And they were carrying out various campaigns, including kidnapping and disposing of high-level Nazis. So the only way his story makes sense at all is if right. his mom was a Nazi officer who got kidnapped by the Communist Party as part of one of their sabotage efforts. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. The Communist Party in Italy never kidnapped anyone. You know, her being imprisoned for 12 years. Well, that's because she was sentenced to 12 years in prison after the war for her war crimes, right? And then she fled Italy to leave behind her horrible Nazi reputation and start a new life. I think that Poppy absolutely 100% comes from a family of Nazis, and so does his daughter Audrey, or Ava, as she likes to be called.
Yeah.
Poppy, again, later in this episode, rears his ugly fascist head when he undermines the entire idea of his and Kramer's pizza business venture, where they're supposed to let the customers build their own pizzas. He absolutely will not allow anyone to put cucumbers on a pizza in his restaurant because he is a controlling fascist. He says, we cannot give the people the right to choose any topping they want.
No.
There you go. He's a Nazi. Clearly, it's clear cut. The man's a Nazi and so is his daughter.
I see.
Poppy shows up one more time. His last appearance is in season 9 in the finale, part 2. The one other, I guess, big support for my theory would be if Poppy ever interacted with some other Nazi.
Like the soup Nazi?
Were there any Nazis on Seinfeld?
Well, famously, the soup Nazi.
Wow. So, in the finale, Jerry Seinfeld and his friends, they get taken to court.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people they know from their past come and testify against them about all the horrible things they've done. Poppy is not one of those people. And yet, randomly, in a musical montage, for about 3 seconds, they cut to Poppy and the soup Nazi. Poppy's being served soup by the soup Nazi. So I don't even know what Poppy's doing there. He's just hanging out with his Nazi friends.
He wasn't there
to testify. I mean, to be fair, there was a deleted scene where Poppy did testify. They just didn't include it in the episode.
So he's definitely a Nazi sympathizer. That's confirmed, even if it's just soup Nazi.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the only other side of this is I guess he's not as high ranking as the soup Nazi because he gestures to the soup Nazi.
No one is.
The soup needs more salt. And then the soup Nazi's like, no soup for you, and takes Poppy's soup away. And he's sad.
the soup Nazi soup is good, but I mean, Poppy's food is like otherworldly
exactly.
good.
Succulent. No, I mean, that's where I was like, if Poppy says it needs more salt, I kind of think it needs more salt. But yeah. he also probably thinks it needs more E. coli and fecal matter. So, right. you know, yeah. he's not that good of a cook.
It needs to be good enough to kill your mother.
Wait, kill your mother?
Because his mother died of
fish. Yeah, she died from the bad fish. I understand. Well, I mean, and that's why that's his go-to for poisoning someone. He's like, it worked on my mother. Why wouldn't it work on Jerry Seinfeld? I think I've pretty conclusively proven that Poppy is a Nazi, and of course his daughter is a Nazi. His daughter showed up and announced herself to be a Nazi in the limo episode.
And that intrigued Jerry enough that he was like, you know what? I want to give her a chance. I'll go out on a few dates with this Nazi.
I mean, dude, look at Jerry. He dates all kinds of, like, really crappy people. He's really shallow.
He dates anti-dentites.
Yeah. He dated Grace. Exactly. So I think it all makes sense. And otherwise, why did she refuse the pie? There's no possible reason.
The most common explanation I've heard, other than she's a psycho, is just she's disgusted because Jerry took a bite of the pie first. And she doesn't want to share germs with him, even though she's dating him.
And why does that disgust her so much?
Which is better supported by your theory. If she's a Nazi and she knows he's Jewish, then she would definitely
be disgusted.
She can't
eat something that he ate. Disgusting. All right. There you go. So what do you think? Did she poison the pie? Is the pie a poison pie and that's why she wouldn't eat it?
Clearly the pie wasn't poisoned, though, because he didn't die. But definitely I can agree that she is a Nazi and that she finds Jerry reprehensible, doesn't like him, and her father doesn't like
him. This much is true.
And her father is definitely a fascist Nazi sympathizer. So,
yes.
Yeah, that
makes
sense.
There you go. We've proven it. There you go. We've solved the mystery of the pie. Happy Pie Day, everyone. Go out and enjoy some nice pie that hasn't been poisoned by
unwashed hands
by horrible Nazis.
That was a question I had for you. Have you ever had an apple pie that you just thought was amazing?
No.
No, like apple pies, I think I see them and they look good.
Yeah.
But I've never taken a bite of an apple pie and been like, this is amazing. They're always kind of tangy and a little sour and they're just not that good. And I'm like, why did I get such a big piece of pie? Like, it looks good, but it doesn't taste good.
I have had apple crumbles, I think is what you would call them, that have been like incredibly good. And I'm like, whoa, this is like some of the best stuff I've ever had. Brown sugar, cinnamon, crumbly stuff on top, and like less bitter, tangy apple filling.
Yeah, you know? The less apple, the better.
I know. Well, the apple, in my opinion, is like seasoning for the sugar, right? The sugar is the main meal, and the apple seasons it with a little bit of tang, a little bit of bitterness. Like the tang is nearly the full width of the blade. And
Oh, jeez. Oh, man.
All right. Well, happy Pie Day, everybody. I hope you like this theory. I hope you now understand why Seinfeld didn't eat at Poppy's place and why Audrey didn't eat that pie. Thanks. If you enjoyed our episode, if you enjoy what we do, you can always support us on Patreon. We've got a Patreon. Every little bit helps, and we sure do appreciate it. Sure do appreciate it.
Woo-wee!
Bye, Buck. Oh, no. There's a reference everyone's going to get. Also, tell your friends about us. The more viewers we have, the better. And the more listeners that listen to our podcast, the more people you have to talk to about our awesome theories.
Can
start a little fan theory fan club. Share it. So like, subscribe.
Comment on YouTube. We like comments. Music for this episode is provided by Christine.
And remember, the pie isn't real.